Testing. Okay, here we go. Welcome to Feia Tales, the podcast that explores the extraordinary lives of endangered animals and the threats they challenge their survival. I'm Zoya, your host, and welcome back from Weeding Week to everyone. It's been a while. Yes. I am sorry for the last episode that I did. It was very short, as I am very new to podcast stuff, and I wasn't really that good at voicing out my opinions in a longer way. Last episode was about bumblebees, and today I am taking you on a journey into the heart of Africa, where two of the most fascinating animals roam the continent, the savannah and forest elephants, which actually are the African elephants. They actually are two subspecies of the African elephant. These gentle giants are not only breathtaking to watch, but are also integral to their ecosystem they inhabit. Unfortunately, they also stand on the brink of extinction, which is why they are featured on our podcast today. We're going to explore their lives in detail, what makes them unique, their role in shaping their environments, the challenges they face from poaching to habitat destruction, and the ongoing efforts to ensure their survival. By the end of this episode, I hope you have a deeper understanding on why these animals matter so much and what we can do to protect them all. Oh, let's get started. Let's start by talking about the two different types of African elephants, the savannah elephant and the forest elephant. While they both are African elephants, the environments they inhabit, their physical characteristics, and their behaviors are distinct, shaped by the unique challenges of their respective habitats. The first, and probably the one you're most familiar with, is the savannah elephant, or their Latin name, I believe, Loxodonta africana. These are the largest land mammals on Earth. Some individuals have been recorded to reach up to 13 feet at the shoulder and over 12,000 pounds. That's like about the weight of like a small truck, or even more, I don't know. They have large fan-like ears, which are distinctively different from those of their forest cousins. These ears serve as a cooling system. By flapping them, savannah elephants help regulate their body temperature in the sweltering heat of the African plains. Their size and strength are awe-inspiring, but in their social structures and intelligence, it's their social structures and intelligence that make them truly remarkable. Savannah elephants primarily live in sub-Saharan Africa, where the vast open landscapes allow them to roam for hundreds of miles in search of food or water. Places like Botswana, Tanzania, Kenya, and Zimbabwe are home to some of the largest populations. These elephants are highly social animals and live in large matriarchal herds. The matriarch, usually the oldest and most experienced female, leads the herd. Her knowledge of migration routes, water sources, and safe areas is crucial to the herd's survival. Elephants can live up to 70 years in the wild, so this experience becomes invaluable, especially in times of drought or other environmental changes. The savannah elephant's diet is diverse. Trees, grasses, shrubs, and fruits. As herbivores, they consume hundreds of pounds of vegetation daily. This does not only sustain them, but it also makes them essential to the environment. They are often called what is ecosystem engineers because of their activities uprooting trees, breaking branches, and trampling vegetation. They have a profound effect on their landscape. These actions create openings in dense woodlands, allowing new plant species to grow, which in turn provides food and shelter for other animals. In many ways, the savanna elephants shape their world, the very world that they live in. But despite their importance, they are under severe pressure from human activities. We'll get into the threats they face shortly. First, let's take a look at their less famous yet equally captivating cousins, the forest elephants. Deep within the lush, dense rainforests of Central and West Africa, another species of elephant quietly goes about its life. This is the forest elephant, or their Latin name, Loxodonta cyclosis. I hope that I pronounced that right. Sorry about that. Well, they are very different from the savanna elephants, not only in size, but in behavior and lifestyle as well. You might not realize that. Forest elephants are smaller. They're actually more compact and much harder to observe than their savanna counterparts. While the savanna elephants can stand up to 13 feet tall, the forest elephants are usually max out at around 8 to 10 feet at the shoulder and weigh up to 5,000 to 6,000 pounds instead of the 12,000 of the savanna elephant. Their ears are also different. They're rounder and much smaller. They're designed for the cooler and shaded environments of the rainforest. Unlike the fan-like ears of the savanna elephant, these ears don't need to cool them as efficiently because the forest provides a naturally cooler climate. Their tusks, however, which are straighter and pointed downward, help them move through the dense undergrowth of this rainforest. Forest elephants are incredibly shy and exclusive, making them difficult to study. They prefer the seclusion of deep rainforests, where their movements are often silent and hidden by the dense vegetation. However, their importance to the ecosystem cannot be overstated. Like the savanna elephants, forest elephants play a crucial role as seed dispersers. As they travel through the forest, they consume large amounts of fruit. And the seeds pass through their digestive systems, eventually being disposed far from the parent tree. This process helps maintain the biodiversity of the rainforest and supports the growth of a wide range of plant species. Interestingly, studies have shown that some tree species depend almost entirely on forest elephants for their seed dispersal. Meaning that without these elephants, certain trees could face extinction themselves. This relationship is not just one example of delicate balance within ecosystems, where the survival of one species often depend on another. The forest elephant's smaller size and preference for dense forest habitats makes them harder to observe and study, but it also places them at a greater risk for poaching. We'll explore the threats they face in more detail later on this episode. Before we get into what the elephant's day-to-day is like, I would like to explain their cultural significance. Beyond their ecological importance, elephants hold a deep cultural significance in many African societies. These magnificent creatures are not merely part of the landscape. They are woven and into the very fabric of the cultural, spiritual, and social lives of the communities that they coexist with, actually. For centuries, elephants have been revered and honored in art, folklore, and religious traditions, embodying traits like strength, wisdom, loyalty, and nobility. Their cultural symbolism span a multitude of regions across Africa, and this connection between people and elephants play a crucial role in conservation efforts today. In many parts of Africa, elephants are considered more than just animals. They are seen as a symbols of spiritual power, ancestral connection, and life itself. Their presence in art, mythology, and religious rituals speak to the deep integration into the identity of numerous African peoples. As we explore this segment, the cultural reverence for elephants as significantly influenced in the way communities approach wildlife protection, poaching prevention, and sustainable development. Before we get into more about that, there might be some names I might mispronounce, so I am sorry about that. I tried as much to research ahead of time, so I... Anyway, here we go. In the African mythology, elephants frequently appear as central figures. They are often portrayed as wise, gentle giants, protectors of their lands, and beings of immense strength. Many African cultures ascribe anthropomorphic qualities to elephants, seeing in them the virtues of patience, leadership, and emotional depth. In some regions, elephants are believed to be spiritual ancestors of the people, embodying their lineage and heritage. This belief fosters a strong protective instinct within the community to shield these animals from the harm, especially from the dangers of poaching. Let's begin exploring the rich tapestry of African folklore and mythology, where elephants are often revered as powerful entities. Take, for example, the Kikuyu people. I'm so sorry if I mispronounced that. I'm so sorry. The Kikuyu people of Kenya. In their traditional beliefs, elephants are regarded as manifestation of ancestral spirits. According to Kikuyu mythology, the souls of great leaders and warriors are said to take form of elephants after death, wandering the savannah in internal vigilance over their descendants. The sacred connection between the living and spirits of ancestors in elephant form engenders a deep respect for the animals, instilling a cultural taboo against harming them. Similar themes among the Zulu people of Southern Africa. Again, I'm so sorry if I mispronounce any of these names. I really wish I had more time. I'm really sorry ahead of time. This is all based on what I've seen on my research, so I'm sorry if any of this is incorrect. Please let us know. Where the Zulu people of Southern Africa, where elephants are seen as representatives of loyalty and leadership. In Zulu culture, the elephant is associated with the power. With a king and a nation itself. The animal's immense size and strength are reflected of the power and the majesty of the Zulu king. And to harm an elephant is metaphorically to harm the nation. This close association with leadership makes the elephant a symbol of governance. With its revered position mirroring the authority of the wisdom of a good ruler. Across West Africa, the elephant appears frequently in stories of strength and wisdom, particularly in the oral tradition of Akan and Ashanti peoples of Ghana. Again, I'm so sorry if I mispronounced any of these names. Elephants are often portrayed as wise, noble beings capable of profound insight into the mysteries of the natural world. In Ashanti storytelling, an elephant may serve as a mediator, between humans and the spirit worlds, a creature of wisdom who offers guidance to those lost in the way. These stories reinforce the idea that elephants are much more than mere animals. They are custodians of the land and of ancient knowledge. Sorry, it's really early in the morning for me as I'm recording this, so I might mispronounce a lot of words. The reverence for elephants is also found in the religious practices of some African communities. Among the Maasai of East Africa, I am so sorry for mispronouncing any of these names. I'm so sorry again. For example, elephants are believed to be sacred creatures connected to the divine. Maasai cosmology includes the idea that elephants were created by God to protect and nourish the earth. Elephants are associated with rain, fertility, and the cycles of nature, playing a crucial role in maintaining the balance of the environment. When elephants migrate from Maasai lands, their movements are often interpreted as a blessing of the gods, signaling the renewal of life and the return of abundance. These spiritual and cultural beliefs are not only symbolic, but they have practical implications for conservation. Because elephants hold such a revered state in many African societies, there are long-standing cultural taboos against killing them. This helps to preserve elephant populations in some regions, even with external pressures, such as poaching and habitat destruction. They pose significant threats. In addition to the cultural symbolism, elephants are also vital sources of income for many communities through ecotourism. The cultural representation between elephants and local communities doesn't stop at mythology and spirituality. It extends into the realm of economic stability. Ecotourism, particularly like safari tourism, has become a critical source of income for many African nations, and elephants are often at the center of this industry. Elephants draw tourists from around the globe who are eager to experience Africa's iconic wildlife and its natural habitat. Safari tours are often offered to like the opportunity of the people who witness elephants roaming free across the savannah, providing them with an intimate connection to nature and fostering a greater appreciation for conservation efforts. The revenue generated from the ecotourism supports local economies, creating jobs and infrastructure in rural areas where traditional forms of employment may be scarce. An example of would be like the Mbrozi National Park in Kenya. One of the most famous wildlife reserves in Africa. Mbrozi is known for its stunning vistas of Mount Kilimanjaro and for being home for one of the largest populations of African elephants in the world. The park is a prime destination for tourists, and with thousands visiting each year to catch a glimpse of the majestic creatures known as African elephants, the income generated from tourism not only helps to fund the park conservation efforts, but also provide a livelihood for the Maasai people who live in the surrounding areas. The Maasai, who have traditionally coexisted with elephants for centuries, now play an integral role in the park's conservation programs. Many Maasai men and women work as guides, rangers, and conservationists, sharing their deep knowledge of the land and wildlife with tourists. By involving the Maasai community in ecotourism, Mbrozi National Park has created a sustainable model that benefits both people and wildlife. The cultural importance of elephants to the Maasai has thus become a leverage to promote conservation, ensuring that the animals are protected while also supporting the local economy. Oh my god, I'm gonna sneeze. Hang on. I'm sorry about that. I have loud sneezing. Where were we? Yes. The success of ecotourism depends heavily on the well-being of elephant population. Elephants are actually known as one of the big five animals, the group of large mammals that are sought after by tourists. The big five is what that is. And their presence in the park or reserve can make or break a region's tourism industry. When elephants thrive, tourism flourishes, providing a direct economic incentive for local communities to protect animals and their habitats. So it's like a win-win scenario. That's great. I have so much more, but I think I'll come back to it. Actually, no. I'm gonna stick to it. However, the relationship between ecotourism and conservation is not always straightforward. While tourism can become vital, can provide vital funding for conservation efforts, it can also place pressure on wildlife and ecosystems. In some areas, the influx of tourists can lead to habitat degradation. What is wrong with me today? It's so early in the morning. I think that's why, as I'm recording this. As roads are built and accommodations expand to meet the growing demand, additionally, elephants can become habituated to human presence, which may make them more vulnerable to poaching or human-wildlife conflict. To address these challenges, many ecotourism operators are adopting more sustainable practices. These include limiting the number of tourists allowed in certain areas, using eco-friendly accommodations, and involving local communities in decision-making processes. By prioritizing the well-being of the elephants and the ecosystems, these operators are working to create a balance between tourism and conservation, ensuring that both people and wildlife can benefit from the industry. These harmonious relationships between local communities and wildlife is crucial for sustainable conservation efforts. Elephants are known as a keystone species, which means that they play a vital role in maintaining the health of their ecosystem. They're often referred to as ecosystem engineers, as I've mentioned before. In many African cultures, this ecological role is recognized and respected. The belief that elephants are guardians of land is reflected in the way communities manage their natural sources. In some cases, traditional knowledge passed down through generation has become used to develop conservation practices that are in harmony with the natural world. For example, some communities practice rotational grazing, where the livestock are moved from one area to another to prevent overgrazing and allow the land to recover. This practice mirrors the natural movements of elephant herds, which are also help to maintain the balance of the ecosystem by preventing any one area to become overburdened. There's so much more, like cultural significance that I really want to get into, but I want to get into the rest of everything I have for her. So I will start off next segment with the day in life of an African elephant. So now that we've met both the savannah and forest elephants and gone into like a little bit of the cultural significance with the elephants, let's imagine what a typical day is like in their lives. For their living habits and different habitats, these two species share a lot in common when they come with daily routines. Well, in the morning, the day for the African elephant begins early, just after sunrise. Elephants are most active during the cooler parts of the day, which makes sense given their enormous size and the amount of heat they generate. For savanna elephants, the day often starts with a search for water. Elephants need to drink frequently, sometimes up to 50 gallons of water in a single day. If they are fortunate enough to be near a river or a waterhole, the herd will gather there to drink and bathe. Bathing is not just a way to cool off. It also helps them protect their skin from parasites. After a dip in the water, elephants will often throw mud or dust over their bodies, creating like a natural sunscreen to shield the sensitive skin. In the rainforest of Central Africa, forest elephants begin their day a little differently. While they also seek water, the lush environment they live in provides plenty of hydration in forms of fruits and leaves. Early in the morning, they move slowly through the dense foliage, using their trunks to grasp branches and pluck fruits from the trees. Their smaller herds, usually no more than 10 individuals, make them more nimble in the forest compared to the larger herds of the savanna elephants. Now we get to midday. By midday, the African sun, it can be relentless. This is like when the elephants typically rest in the shade or take refuge in the water. Savannah elephants will often cluster under large trees, resting in the shade, while forest elephants can easily find cover under the canopy of the rainforest. Elephants are known for their intelligence and social behavior, and midday rest is a time where their deep family bonds are on full display. Mothers will keep a close eye on their young, while the older siblings may help to care for them. Elephants are known to comfort each other, using their trunks to gently touch or hug. Their strong social connections are one of the most remarkable aspects of their lives. They communicate through the range of sounds, trumpets, rumbles, and even vibrations that travel through the ground. Scientists believe that some of these low-frequency sounds can travel up to over several miles, allowing herds to communicate even when they fall apart. As the afternoon cools down, elephants become more active again. For savanna elephants, this might mean traveling several miles in search of food. They are constantly on the move, grazing over the grasses, tree bark, and leaves. Elephants can spend up to 18 hours a day just on feeding alone, which makes sense, actually, considering their enormous size and the energy they need to sustain for their bodies. In the rainforest, forest elephants continue their quiet foraging. Their diet is mostly based on, like, a fruit-based, I would say, that of the savanna elephant. And they are particularly fond of certain tree species that provide large, fleshy fruit. The diversity of their diets help maintain the health and growth of the rainforest. As they eat, they inadvertently help spread seeds far and wide, ensuring the growth of new trees and plants. Now we get to the evening. As the sun sets, elephants begin to settle for the night. They are not nocturnal by nature, though they may continue to move and forage if the conditions are right. The cooler night air allows them to stay active without overheating. During this time, elephants may also engage in more social behavior, such as play fighting among young males or gentle touching between family members. While the daily lives of elephants may seem peaceful, they face constant threats that can turn an ordinary day into a struggle for survival. Let's take a closer look at these challenges. Finally, let's get to the challenges that they face. African elephants are majestic creatures, but the future is hanging like by a thread. They have roamed this earth for millions of years, symbolizing the essence of wild Africa. However, the threats to their survival are multifaceted, and they are all tied to human activity, habitat loss, human-wildlife conflict, and poaching. Driven by greed and short-sightedness, this has placed this incredible species on the brink of extinction. If we don't take urgent and decisive action, we could lose these majestic species forever. Let's get into habitat loss. I want you guys to know more about each one and not just tell you about it. I want to make sure you guys all know. Habitat loss is an insidious threat to African elephants, affecting both savanna and forest elephants in different but equally devastating ways. With the exponential growth of human populations across Africa, more land is being cleared for agricultural settlements and infrastructure projects such as roads, railways, and even industrial complexes. This encroachment is not only reducing the amount of space available for these elephants to roam, but also fragmenting their once contiguous habitats into isolated patches. Sorry, it's like a long morning. For African elephants, the space is essential. These animals are constantly on the move, sometimes traveling up to 50 kilometers a day in search of food, water, and safe areas for breeding. The sheer size and dietary needs, up to 300 pounds of vegetation, means that they require vast territory to sustain their population. But as their habitats shrink, they are increasingly being forced into smaller confined areas where the food and water sources are limited. The scarcity of resources combined with habitat fragmentation has also disrupted their migratory patterns, which are crucial for the survival and for maintaining the health of ecosystems they habitat. For savanna elephants, which are often found in more open, grassy areas, habitat fragmentation is a direct result of human expansion. As large swaths of land are converted into farmlands or fenced off for urban development, the natural corridors that elephants use to travel between feeding and breeding areas are disappearing. When elephants are confined into smaller areas, they overgraze the land, which can lead to soil degradation and depletion of local plant life. This not only harms the elephants, but also has a broader ecological consequence, affecting other species that rely on the same habitats. And it's not just about space. Human infrastructures, such as roads, railways, and railways, pose a direct threat to elephants. In many regions, elephants are forced to cross highways or rail tracks during their migrations, leading to tragic accidents and fatalities. The stress caused by these barriers also affects their behavior, with some of the herds being increasingly isolated and unable to access vital resources. For forest elephants, this situation is far more dire. These smaller and more inclusive elephants are primarily found in the denser rainforests, which are being rapidly destroyed by human activity. Logging, both legal and illegal, is decimating the forested areas that these elephants call home. In addition, mining operations for resources such as gold, diamonds, and coltan, the latter being a critical component in electronic devices, are tearing apart the delicate ecosystems of the rainforest. As forest elephants lose their habitats, they are forced to closer contact with human populations, which leads to more frequent and often deadly confrontations. The rainforests themselves are biodiversity hotspots, home to countless species, and elephants play a key role in maintaining their health. By trampling vegetation and dispersing seeds, they also help the forest and promote growth. Without elephants, these rainforests would become less diverse and more vulnerable to environmental change. In essence, the survival of the forest elephant is not just about the elephants themselves. It's about preserving the fabric of the ecosystem they inhabit. But as I said before, habitat loss is not the only challenge these animals face. As their living spaces shrink, they are coming closer to humans, which are leading to escalating conflicts that threaten both the lives and livelihood of the people they encounter. Human-wildlife conflict is another critical issue, as I said. This places elephants at risk, particularly for savanna elephants, who are more likely to come in contact with humans. As human populations grow, this spread into previous untouched areas, people and elephants are finding themselves in increasing competition for space and resources. This is particularly true in the regions where agriculture is primarily a livelihood for local communities. Elephants in search of food would often wander into the farmland where they can trample crops and damage property, and even pose a threat to human lives. To farmers who rely on these crops for their survival, elephants are not seen as gentle giants, but dangerous pests that must be driven away or killed. And this conflict is not just about property damage. It's mainly rural communities. Food scarcity is already a tenuous issue. A single raid by elephants can wipe out an entire season's worth of crops, leaving families to struggle to feed themselves. It's like a lot. Like, and I understand that, like, they have frustration, and they kind of like use weapons or poisons to kill elephants to stay off their land, which is kind of like really, really bad. Like, and in some regions, like, it's like they've been killed. Like, entire herds have been killed by angry farmers. Like, in countries like Kenya, Tanzania, incidents of elephant poisoning or mass killings have become disturbingly common. In one particularly tragic case, a herd of 12 elephants were poisoned in Zimbabwe in 2015 as a part of a retaliatory strike by local farmers. The elephants had trampled through fields, destroying crops and leaving farmers in a desperate situation. Yet it's important to recognize that these conflicts are not just a result of human malice. In many cases, the elephants are just simply trying to survive. As their habitats are encroached upon, they have fewer places to find food and water, leading them to wander onto the human territory out of sheer necessity. Elephants don't understand property boundaries or human agricultural practices. They're just driven by their instinctual need for sustenance. The good news is there's solutions to human-wildlife conflict. In many parts of Africa, local communities, governments, and conservation organizers are working together to find ways for humans and elephants to coexist peacefully. One of the promising approaches is the creation of wildlife corridors, protected areas that allow elephants to move freely between habitats without coming into contact with human settlements. These corridors are often established by relocating communities away from key migration routes or by setting up buffer zones around farms. Another solution is the use of non-lethal deterrents to keep elephants away from crops. And a fun fact is that farmers have found that elephants are scared of bees, which is kind of ironic. So if you have a fear of bees, you're not the only one. Even elephants are. For example, so some communities have started installing beehive fences around the fields. The buzzing of the bees keep the elephants at bay, while the farmers benefit from the added bonus of honey production. Other methods, such as like planting crops that elephants dislike, using chili peppers as a natural deterrent, or installing early warning systems to alert farmers when elephants are nearby, have proved really effective. These community-based solutions are critical because they recognize the survival of elephants and is deeply intertwined with the well-being of the people who share the land. By helping communities find a way to live alongside elephants, we can reduce the conflict. And while habitat loss and human-wildlife conflict are serious threats, perhaps the most immediate threat that they faced was like poaching, which is driven by the illegal ivory trade. Despite international bans of the sale of ivory, the demand for elephant tusks remain alarmingly high, particularly in parts of Asia, where ivory is used for traditional medicine, ornaments, and status symbols. The killings of elephants for the ivory has been described as war, a brutal and bloody conflict that has decimated elephant populations across the continent. In the past century, African elephants populations have plummeted more than 90%. The poaching is estimated that around 20,000 elephants are killed every year for the tusks. And in situations, it is especially dire for forest elephants, whose smaller size and exclusive nature make them prime targets for poachers. Over the last decade, forest elephant populations have declined more than 60%. In some regions, they are on the verge of extinction. The methods used by poachers are as varied as they are gruesome. Some use rifles or high-powered weapons to kill elephants from a distance, while others employ snares, traps, or even poison to bring down their prey. In many cases, poachers will just hack off the tusks of the still-alive elephant, leaving them to bleed to death in excruciating pain. The carcasses are often left to rot, with only the tusks taken for sale on the black market. This is very sad. Like, the international ivory trade is, like, complex, and, like, it's fueled by a combination of cultural beliefs, economic incentives, and organized crime. In many Asian countries, ivory has been long prized for its supposed medical properties, as well as its issue, like, it's used for carving and jewelry. Despite the fact there is no significant scientific evidence to support the medicinal value of ivory, the demand of these are so high, driving up prices and incentivizing, like, poachers to work. In recent years, there is many curbs to the legal ivory trade. Many countries have implemented strict laws banning the sale and possession of ivory, and in international organizations such as CITES, the Conservation of International Trade and Endangered Species, have imposed trade restrictions. However, enforcement remains a challenge, particularly in regions where corruption, poverty, and political instability make it difficult to control the illegal activities. The rise on online marketplaces have made it easier for ivory to be traded across borders. While some platforms have banned the sale of ivory, others continue to allow the trade to flourish, often under the guise of selling antique ivory or mislabeled products with the black market. But it's not all doom and gloom. Across Africa, dedicated conservationists, law enforcement agencies, and even local communities have been working to combat poaching. One of the effective tools that they use is technology. Like drones, GPS tracking, and satellite imagery are now being used to monitor elephant herds and track the movements of poachers. In some regions, park rangers have been equipped with high-tech tools such as night vision goggles, thermal cameras, and even artificial intelligence systems that can predict poaching hotspots based on that analysis. Other key strategy with the is the creation of the anti-poaching units, which consist of highly trained rangers tasked with patrolling and protecting protected areas and responding to poaching incidents. These units are often work in collaboration with law enforcement agencies and the military, and in some cases they have been able to apprehend poachers before they can strike. However, the work is dangerous. Many rangers have lost their lives in the line of duty, killed by poachers who are often armed with military-grade weapons. In addition, with law enforcement, there has been a growing focus and addressing the causes of poaching. And by giving people an opportunity to make a living without resorting to poaching, these initiatives are helping, like, to reduce demand for illegal ivory and protect elephants. It may seem bleak, but there's still hope. There's, like, so many ways that, like, they have done, and, like, it's, like, a global effort. But, in like, we also have, like, specific ways that they have done. It's, like, so much. And they have helped so much. But what can we do? What can you do to help? Well, I have a list of many things that you can do, which is 1, support conservation organizations. Donate to whatever you can or volunteer to whatever you can to support, like, the long way. Some key organizations like African Wildlife Foundation, Save the Elephants, and Wildlife Conservation Society, these groups help fund anti-poaching initiatives. Another one is say no to ivory and legal wildlife products. One of the biggest drivers of elephant poaching is the demand for ivory. You can help reduce this demand by refusing to buy ivory products and spreading awareness about the devastating impact of illegal wildlife trade. And even today, ivory is sometimes sold in the market or as antiques. If you see ivory for sale, report it to the authorities and explain to others why it's important to avoid buying such items. Another one, 3, reduce your carbon footprint. Habitat loss is driven in part of, like, climate change and human expansion. While we might not all be able to stop habitat destruction directly, we can help mitigate the effects of climate change by reducing our own carbon footprint. Simple changes such as using less energy, reducing waste, and supporting renewable energy can collectively make a difference. Number four, support ethical tourism. If you're lucky enough to go visit Africa, consider engaging in ethical wildlife tourism by choosing safari companies and tour operators that respect wildlife and contribute to conservation efforts. You can support local economies while ensuring that elephants and other animals are treated with care. Avoid places that are offer elephant rides or performances, as these often involve cruel treatment with the animals. And number five is the simplest one you can do, is just raise awareness. Share what you've learned about African elephants with your family and friends and social media networks. The more who understand the challenges these animals face, the more likely we are to inspire. Before we wrap up, I thought I'd leave you guys with a couple of fun facts. Number one, did you know that elephants can talk through the ground? If you paid attention, I didn't mention it a bit. They use low frequency sounds called infrasound, which can travel long distances through the earth. Elephants can detect these vibrations through their feet, allowing them to communicate with other elephants. Number two, they have a super sensitive sense of smell. An elephant's sense is incredible. Sense of smell is incredible. It's actually thought to be the best of animal kingdom. Elephants can detect water sources up to 12 miles away. They also use their strong sense of smell to recognize the scent of other elephants, and to find food. And it's like having a built-in radar system. Number three, elephants are either left or right tusked. Just like humans are left or right-handed, elephants tend to favor one tusk over the other. Their favorite tusks are often slightly shorter and more worn down than the other because it's getting used more frequently for tasks like digging or scraping bark off trees. Number four, they're amazing swimmers. Despite their massive size, elephants are great swimmers. They use their trunk as a snorkel, and they can swim long distances to reach new habitats and water sources. Their buoyant bodies and natural endurance make them strong swimmers. Number five, elephants mourn the dead. Elephants are incredibly emotional creatures, and they're known to mourn the dead. When a member of their herd dies, elephants may stay with the body for days, touching it gently with their trunks, and even trying to cover it with branches or dirt. In some cases, they've been observed revisiting the bones of their dead relatives long after they have passed, showing just how deep their social bond has run. Number six, their trunk, as I mentioned, has over 40,000 muscles. Can you believe? It's used for so many things. Like, it's one of the most versatile tools, and it has like 40,000 muscles, so it can do a lot of things. And number seven, they can live up to 70 years. I've mentioned that. And number eight, baby elephants suck their trunks. Just like human babies suck their thumbs for comfort, baby elephants suck the trunks. It helps them feel secure. And it can also be a way for them to learn how to control their trunk muscles as they grow. As we wrap up this final episode, I want to leave you with one last thought. Elephants have been walking the earth for millions of years, and they're a central part of the ecosystem they inhabit. These magnificent creatures are not just a symbol of Africa's wildlife, they're a symbol of interconnectedness of all life on earth. But their future is uncertain, as the challenges that they face are immense. However, as we've learned today, steps we can take and can ensure the elephants continue to roam for generations to come. By supporting everything and saying no to ivory, we can raise awareness. Every action matters, no matter how small. Thank you for joining me today on this journey into a world of African elephants. I hope this episode has inspired you all to take action, no matter how small, in the fight to protect our planet's fading tails. Together we can make a difference. Until next time, this is Zoya signing off. Stay curious, Stay compassionate and let's work together to protect our planet's amazing creatures.